from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
Boy, and is it dirty. About 30 minutes ago, y'all, Mondo Duplantis broke the world record for the ninth time, jumping 6.25 meters to become back-to-back Olympic champion in the pole vault, Ron.
Good for him.
Yeah, he's
good man.
Apparently one of the greatest of all time. I don't know pole vaulters like that, but clearly one of the greatest of all time. Something that is, there's no way, even though old Duplantis just broke the record, there's no way the video of him breaking the record goes more viral than the old French pole vaulter that got his Johnson hung on the bar. I don't know. Did you guys see this?
I saw this on Twitter.
Yeah. French pole vaulter.
You've not seen floppy. It?
No.
French pole vaulter. Anthony Amirati. He fails to medal after his male organs knocked the bar off the rack.
Jesus. So he's one who definitely gets held up by TSA.
Yes. Yeah, good point. He clearly gets held up at TSA.
Probably why I didn't do any pole vault.
And the video's pretty funny.
I mean, from one Big Johnson story to another.
Right here.
I mean, Ron got frisked by some dude at the airport and
hell of a segue.
Found out his.
She almost embarrassed me how loud she
was. Why did the woman come over? Never mind. We'll talk about that later. Next time you tell that story, there'll be another time later on.
Hey, girl.
This is probably the most popular question being asked in our business right now after this old boy's Johnson knocked him out. Have you seen this video for real?
I have not seen it.
Literally.
I've literally not seen it.
You need to look at it so you see what I'm talking about.
It gets caught on the pole.
My dude clearly clears the pole, like clears it, and the only thing that catches it is his Johnson. And
you rip your nuts and your wiener off,
you're
dead.
Obviously well endowed. And the question.
The way, big fella.
The question that I think is probably the most popular question in the game today, in the media game today, is would you rather the world know that you're well endowed and that you've got a large Johnson? There's no question about it. Or
are we sure he's got a large Johnson? Or is it
have
nuts?
You seen the video yet? Well, there's no if.
I'm going through here.
What wasn't it Chris Johnson's joint that fell out of his shorts or whatever when he's running?
Like, yeah, Chris Jones.
Chris Jones. Like, there's no question. Like, I mean, it just, the world knows, man. Even those that just want Olympic coverage, man, they know. Would you rather a gold medal in the Olympics or to have and for the world to know, innocently know, that you've got a huge Johnson. And not have to tell them at TSA. I'm just talking about like inadvertently.
It's a tough one.
When I first thought about it, I was like, when I first heard the question, I was like, ha, that's funny. But the more you think about it.
Oh, wow. It's hanging on there. Hanging right on the bar, huh?
My guy needed to strap that thing down, man.
That thing like a monkey's tail. It went out there and grabbed that damn edge of that bar and pulled it right off the rack, man. I'm telling you.
Get an ace bandage or something, bro. Yeah, wrap that thing down tight.
I bet he was peacocking around at Olympic Village that evening. No medal.
Literally, like literally
his
peacocking.
His age, I don't know, boy. I mean, you work for that medal for a long time, but that right there, that means you don't have to work for quite some time when you information is given out.
It's not just that, Ron. It's that's the icebreaker. So you're an athlete, yeah. You remember the 2024 Olympics?
No, here, let me pull it up.
let me prove to you that I was an Olympian. And that's
happened. It was unfortunate.
Like it's not just
qualified, man.
Like having a gold medal would be nice, but like how many? We're not talking about like Simone Biles, and like I'm talking about like how many just random gold medalists can you name? Do you remember? Like if they walked up on you right now, you'd remember. You'd know. Even if they told you the story, remember back in this year this happened. Would you know? So the gold medal is great, and that's a great athletic achievement. Don't get me wrong.
That's what he's worked for, yeah.
I think I'd rather be the pole vaulter that hung on the bar. I think that's a bigger deal. I think that's more beneficial in his life than a gold medal would be.
This is a bigger deal. That's huge.
Yeah, literally and figuratively.
This is really hard for me because I can relate clearly.
I didn't know you were a pole vaulter.
Hey, that's a good point. You can relate to being well endowed, not being in that pole and it shooting you over that 6.5 meters, however tall that is.
That, my problem that stopped me is the same problem he had, amongst other things.
Yeah, I think I'd go with the Big Johnson, boys.
Next line rolls through. That's a hard one.
I mean, if you stop laughing for a minute and seriously think about it, I think I would go with the Big Johnson.
I think I got to go with the gold. But I also need to know.
Says the guy with the big Johnson.
I also
messing
need to know
TSA
line. Like, what's the alternative of this? Like, how? Like,
yeah, do you have like a like, micro? No,
we're not talking about light switches.
If I can at least be average size, I'll take the gold medal.
You got an average size Johnson that the world doesn't know about, or and a gold medal.
That's an important detail, Ron. Yeah.
You've got a large one that your wife and the entire world knows about. Before your wife would have been really funny.
Yeah, because I can work with that. I think.
Oh,
I mean,
you think so?
I don't know. I mean,
you've never had to.
I'm assuming.
Tyler, where are you at? It's not even close. It ain't remotely close.
I'll take the gold. If you give me the average,
well endowed, and it is blatantly obvious on national TV and Olympic coverage and social media, I'll take it.
Yeah, my mind went right where Ron's did. I got to know like what I'm either or in here. Like, am I going to be stuck with some like?
Because there's some perks.
We'll give you an average size joint, Tyler, which you don't really know what that's worth either.
That is a great opening line, but there's also a great opening line. Hey, I'm a gold medalist. Here, I've got a gold medal that you can see and you can put on. You want to come up and see it?
If I'm getting average, I gotta go gold.
At some point, that stick is gonna be not the stick, the shtick of I was a gold. Like that ain't gonna work. Like that's a complicated to get to.
I don't know. I can get it right out.
I mean, I would have that video on command. Hey Siri, play my pickup line.
You could also have that video of you
holding that gold medal. Yeah, that ain't it.
With the national anthem playing.
I'm telling you, it ain't even remotely close. Now Siri's playing pickup lines and cut the Justin Moore song.
I gotta go. You two
are going gold medal.
I got if I'm oh, if wow. It's an average. Now if you talk about I got a little if you talk about I got a little bit of itty.
No. I'm not giving you a problem. I'm just saying.
Yeah, just give me average one. I'll take the gold.
Oh, man.
I can work with that gold.
Yeah.
I can't believe you two. I'd take that big honker any day. I'd take that old knee banger any day of the week. Now
pause.
What happened?
I mean, I don't think there's any pausing here. I think the whole conversation was pause-worthy.
Big weekend for the Texans. It all starts with Andre Johnson. All starts with Andre Johnson. From the Big Johnson to Andre Johnson, y'all. It was
tremendous
weekend. Andre's speech was phenomenal, as expected. The support was absolutely through the roof from his former teammates, the fans, the current team. He had so much good to say, but I think what matters here is Texans fans out there that couldn't make it, Texans fans out there that didn't get a chance to watch and listen. Hell, Texans fans that heard it and you just can't get enough of it. Here is Andre Johnson's message to the Texans fans.
To the Houston Texans fans, Jim Porter asked me if the Houston Texans were to get the game, how do you think the Houston fans will show up? I told him you better get ready because we're going to show up and show out. I'm so appreciative of you guys. You guys have shown me so much love from the day I came to Houston, even to now, just being around the city. I was walking in the store the other day. A lady I don't even know. She didn't say, hey, Andre. She didn't say anything. All she said was, I see you in Canton. I love you guys. I appreciate you guys so much. You guys meant so much to my career. You guys motivated me. And I couldn't do a lot of things I did if I didn't have you guys cheering me on. I really appreciate you. Thank you.
Hell of a weekend. Hell of a job, Andre Johnson. Hell of a job, Texans Nation. Great call on D'Amico's behalf, keeping the team there. Great call on D'Amico's behalf, practicing in Cleveland right there with NFL Network and everybody that was covering the Hall of Fame induction could slide down the street, because right now the Texans are one of the featured teams on NFL Network. They're at practice interviewing all the players during and D'Amico during and after practice. So overall great weekend. Ron, there's also been a couple of I think pieces of audio that have popped about the team specifically. The biggest takeaway from the game that happened Thursday night, and we talked a little bit about this on Friday. We talked about it at length in the post-game show. The two starters offensively that played, Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs, are interior offensive linemen, center guard. And the interior offensive line is the biggest question mark for this team of who's it going to be. And how well are they ready to play? How good are they? What's that interior offensive line look like? Obviously, it can impact the pass protection. Obviously, it impacts the run game. D'Amico Ryans this weekend met with the media and spoke specifically about Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs and what stood out to him.
Yeah, I really liked Kenyon and Juice. It's up front. Really liked the way they played. In a snap, I think they both had probably over 20 snaps. And I thought they did a really nice job of going out and showing, you know, who they can be. Still a lot to improve on, but I like the aggressiveness from Kenyon. I like how he got up to the second level. I like the way they were finishing blocks. So it's definitely a big step in the right direction for both guys when it comes to, you know, continue to improve our front. And we know how important the front is, right, to be able to run the football and also the protection aspect of it. So I thought both of those guys did a really nice job.
Big step in the right direction, Ron, and that's refreshing to hear after D'Amico clearly had watched the film, I believe, evaluated what all he had seen, because I think that was blatantly obvious. We've talked multiple times about just the sheer physicality of these two guys. They are built like physically and have the mindset of interior offensive linemen. They have the ability to be nasty. And that's one I think we hadn't seen any balls, so we had a long way to go, but that's one thing that stands out about these guys. And then Kenyon Green's athletic ability, we specifically talked about that. His athletic ability to get to the second level, I think, was obvious when we were watching it from the press box as well as on TV. Good to hear that D'Amico Ryans, again, watched the film and saw the same things, because this is the one thing. We talk a lot about Xavier Hutchinson, talked a little bit about Cade Stover, talked a little bit about Kalen Bullock, some of these different guys that we saw play. Really, Ryan, when we're talking about what's going to hopefully help this team be better once the regular season starts, there's nothing more important and nothing bigger than that interior offensive line.
No, it's the thing that no one really talks a lot about, but it can completely derail what we think this offense can be. And obviously the opposite can take this offense to the next level, to another level, maybe that we're not even looking at, if they play anywhere close to where they were drafted or anywhere close to maybe what many people think their ceiling is. That, like, that they're a huge, huge key to this team. And the thing is, if they can hell just be somewhere in the middle of it, that works. Not be, you know, be just off, absolutely awful, that it just wrecks things offensively. Now, if you want to be a couple of Pro Bowlers, that'd be great too, but can you just be in the middle?
Yeah.
And if you can just be in the middle, then I think this offense can sustain.
Well, look, we've seen Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud. We've seen them deal with, a turnstile at center and guard. We've seen them deal with, you know, youngsters. We've seen them deal with veterans that they didn't know what they were getting, that just you had to look out for. So, I mean, these guys being average, above average NFL linemen that still make rookie or inexperienced mistakes, that's fine. It's going to happen. Neither one of them have played a whole hell of a lot of football at their respective positions. So that may happen, but I think Bobby Slowick and C.J. Stroud can overcome that. To your point, if they just keep trending in the right direction and at the very least show some promise in the run game, I think from a pass protection standpoint, they can mix things up and figure out a way to get the protection shored up, and CJ can deal with that. If those two interior offensive linemen, if they end up being road graders, maulers, and that physical approach actually plays out on Sunday, and Joe Mixon and Damian Pierce and company can benefit from it, that is an absolute game changer for this organization, for this offense, for damn sure. So we'll see, but that's that inside offensive line, that's the spot where you got to keep your eye on throughout the entire preseason. Glad to see those guys get some work last week.
Yeah, and obviously from what D'Amico said earlier, they will get more work along with the other ones, and that's the next step, to see how those five can operate together. So that'll be the next big step. All right, coming up, the lineup is out as the Astros got to get going. They're going to play the Rangers. This is a team. And to be honest with you, they could really land a major blow to the Rangers if they could really go ahead and win this series, let alone sweep this series. The Rangers are kind of teetering on if they're in, and if they're not, the Astros can do that. But they got to have these bats come alive. We'll tell you what the lineup is coming up.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back in to The Drive. My man Champ Slice out here in bad karma. as the Astros head to Arlington. He says, we about to get swept. What's this? That's kind
damn,
of
that. Champ Slice.
It does feel like the Rangers are a good team to start hitting again.
And
don't worry, by the way, the team that's lost 20 in a row, the White Sox are lurking on the schedule coming up for the Astros, too. So that should be a place where you can make some hay.
Yeah, look, I mean, everybody relax. Everybody relax a little bit. Be all right.
I don't know about that lineup on the relax thing. That lineup is it's just, if you're a pitcher who looks at this thing, especially if they start facing better teams, you're like, just let me get to this. Like today's lineup. The lineup is out today. Altuve, Bregman, and Alvarez. Alvarez is the DH. Yiner at catcher. Pena, Myers, McCormick, Dubon is at first tonight with Pedro Leon in right field. Me, Clint, I'm like, yeah. Let me get to Diaz, Pena, Myers, McCormick. Look, I can fool around, pitch around these other guys. Let me get to these. They just, the lineup just has a lot of guys that you can be cool getting to, and avoiding the real batters that scare you, and Alvarez and Altuve. And I think you could throw Bregman in on this too. But that lineup, boy, after you lose those three, and I'll give you said it, Diaz been swinging the bat pretty well too. But even him, there's not very much fear in it. Where, like, it's a bunch of guys, all right, let me go after him so I don't have to mess with those guys. That's just my thing with this lineup, boy. And then when you hear Kyle Tucker, they can't even commit that he'll be back.
Yeah.
In the month of August.
Look, I mean, obviously we'd love to have Kyle Tucker back in it. It lengthens that lineup a little bit, and it you know, it clearly adds a big time bat. But you still have that run of guys at the bottom of the lineup that are gonna be streaky. I mean, this is the same lineup without Tucker that was I can't remember if they were number one or number two in yards and runs scored per game for about a 6 week span, I think, in June and early July. So and look, that was a week's part of their schedule. I get it. This is a tougher part of their schedule in August, so things turn a little bit. But they need Tucker back. I'm not going to sit here and act like they don't need Tucker back. I'm not going to sit here and act like I'm, you know, big picture down the stretch in the playoffs, do we have enough firepower? But I'm at a spot where with this team, if we lose because of our bats, if we lose because there's a team that can go out there and best of seven can outscore us, then – hey man, I'm gonna have to live with that. I'm not real worried about these bats right now.
Yeah. You're not worried about them?
No, I'm good.
Tyler, you good? You getting worried about these bats?
I don't know if I'd say worried, but I mean, I don't feel good about them.
It's the answers. It's just tough. Like,
yeah.
Like it's just tough. I mean, you got, like, you feel like you get through. Now, you fool around, those guys at the top can be enough, but oh boy, what the, 4 runs in 3 days against the Rays?
Well, I mean, in terms of like right now, yeah, I mean, that is a rough look at with against Tampa Bay. And Tampa Bay got some dudes they could throw out there. So I mean, that was not a good look at all. But I'm big picture, I'm not worried about it.
Good for you, man. Happy for you, man. See what happens, man. We'll see if that lineup starts scoring some runs or these guys get a chance. I am interested in seeing Leon tonight, right field. See him at the plate. See him a little bit more. See what he does, and see if he actually gets enough run to have an opportunity to swing the bat. See, I get the feel a guy that's been playing every day in Sugarland and putting up the numbers that he put up. Like, he's another one. They have just, like, that's another thing to me. They have got to. I think he should give this. He's tried a lot of things. While Kyle Tucker waits, I think they need to commit to some guys. They need to commit to a lineup. So these guys, I think that's the best opportunity for guys
to do the best I can
to get some consistency is to play them. And if it's going to be Pedro Leon, who we saw hit 19 homers, have over 70 RBIs in AAA, like, to me, if he plays today and then misses 2 days and then plays, like, I don't think you get the best out of him. I don't think you get the best out of out of many of the players. If you handle it that way,
you got to pick, right? I agree with you, Rod. Nobody will ever talk me into the whole just rotating guys through.
Cool. It worked for a little bit, but now like you've really been struggling offensively for, I'd say, an extended period.
Yeah, but I mean, did it work? I mean, Chaz McCormick's been in a funk all year long. Dubon was hitting 300. Now he's hitting 260.
It's Jake.
Jake Myers, he fell off the map. You can argue that the cabbage thing worked well with him getting in the rotation. You can argue that the Salazar, the catcher, getting the rotation. That being a every other day something different. Surely nobody subscribes to that. Surely nobody looks at that and goes, yeah, that's the best way to go about this thing. Look, like right now with Tucker out, the one that matters is the one you mentioned. I mean, Pedro Leon, he's got a bright future, or at least expectations are for him to be a big piece of the future here. Let him play right field. Look, if you want to, the left field thing is interesting because obviously with Diaz, DH and some and Caratini catching, then the left field, then Jordan has to play some left field. So let Dubon and White Boy Chaz, however you want to handle that. I don't really care about that. But Pedro Leon needs to play in right
Chaz,
field. So what'd I say? Did I? Damn, good habits are hard to break, man.
Old
habits
come at me about White Boy Chaz.
We all know you
Chaz.
Can do it. You still call me Ron.
I can. I got Ron down. Show don't even cross my radar anymore. But
good for you.
But Pedro Leon is the one. I think you're right. I mean, like, because here's the deal. I don't know until Pedro Leon shows us that, like, hey man, these other guys are just clearly better options. Like Chaz McCormick is clearly a better option right now, right? I mean, because I don't know if this team is in a position to where I would be real comfortable with just a bunch of trying guys out. But Pedro Leon is a guy that could potentially, I mean, be a different difference maker in right field. Yeah. Could be until Kyle Tucker gets back. He potentially is a guy. He can get on and steal bases.
Well, I just want to get the best shot at seeing him give us the best he can.
That's what I'm saying. You know who everybody else is.
And to me, any of them, like someone just texted, okay, so you're talking about the lineup, so what's the alternative lineup? What are they going to do? Well, for me, like, all right, who's going to be your first baseman? Play Dubon or play Singleton. Choose one. Who's going to be your first baseman? Play them every day so they get at-bats every day. To me, I think players play better and swing the bat better when they get every day at bat. All right, Leon, is he going to take one of the corner spots? Let him run for a little bit. To me, him hitting or in the lineup today and getting at bats today and then missing 2 days and then coming back later on the week, like for a guy who was getting at bats every day in Sugar Land, I don't think that's helpful. You brought him up. You think there's a talent there? Put him in right. Put him in right, especially since Tucker is not out yet. And if you want to have Myers in center, right, like you said, like it's play these guys every day. Give these guys a shot every single day to play, and then use the other guys who you're not going to put in there on the bench and have them as pinch hitters. But to me, when you're struggling like this, the last thing is to get yo-yoed in and out multiple times to me to help your confidence and help your swing. Like it's. I mean, the closest thing that you get is, all right, man, he got two hits today, so he gets to play tomorrow.
Yeah. Yeah, you're going to get a rotation at first base, and I think that's just simply because Big John just hasn't taken the position and just owned it. And for whatever reason, he's still one of the guys that hasn't swung it well enough to be an everyday player where he's still subject to the lefty righty starting pitcher kind of deal. Dubon clearly is going to be a super utility guy. That's what they're going to do. To me, it's like I'm dialed in on one guy right now. That's Pedro Leon. I want to see, to your point, I want to see what he's about, because when the games come up and Jordan doesn't play left field, who that left fielder is going to be, I think they're rotating up through it all, so I think it's still up in the air, right? Is Pedro Leon potentially one of those guys?
Yeah. We'll see. It's just a crapshoot after four. Who's going to be in the lineup? All right, coming up, somebody needs to put some respect on a player's name. This everybody's been talking about somebody else. There's a player that needs some respect, and maybe Clint was right all along about Yusei Kikuchi. Ooh. Maybe he was right all along. We'll discuss that.
New.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
CJ fakes the give. CJ planting. And he throws downfield over the middle. And he's got a man, Brown. Left side, 50, 40. Left sideline. Full throttle. 20, 15, 10, 5. Fighting for the goal line. And he's got it. Touchdown, Houston. Rock and roll. 75 yards.
It's Andre, boy. Andre almost couldn't contain himself. Had them hard claps.
Wow.
And he was ready to jump in. I'll never forget that. I remember sitting up in that press box. That was against the Bucks, and I did not know that he had that in his bag. Break the tackle and then separate, and no one could catch him.
Kid is a freaking
baller.
About
the last 30, 40 yards. I did not know Noah Brown had that in him, but he did, and that was a game where he led the team in receiving yards, and that is the same game where Tank went off as well in that comeback where C.J. Stroud threw for 500 yards the next week.
God bless, brother.
He went off against the Bengals as well. But for you, Clint, I think a lot of people are forgetting about that guy, forgetting about that dude that had that run and that dude who was the next guy in line after the big three. I feel like you said people need to remember and put a little respect back on who the hell Noah Brown is.
Yeah. I mean, I think there just needs to be a little respect put on Noah Brown's name. I mean, there is clearly a big three on this team. And so let me be clear. I'm not trying to push Noah Brown into that conversation with Diggs, Tank, and Nico in any way, shape, or form. Now, there was a time early in camp last year before any of these superstars emerged in Tank Dell and Nico Collins where Noah Brown was having better days. I mean, he was flashing on the field as the best receiver. He was catching balls. He was having chemistry with C.J. Stroud. Obviously, they've signed Diggs, and Tank and Nico have taken their game to a whole other level. So I'm not a fool. I'm not trying to put him in that conversation, Ron. But he is clearly, squarely in the number four role for this team. And there's nothing that anybody else on this team, any other receiver can do on this team in a preseason game that's going to upseat 85, Noah Brown, as the number four guy. He is very, very critical.
People felt that way about Xavier Hutchinson. There are people thinking
that's where this thought or the need to talk about this was birthed, right? We're sitting there at Jerseys and Big Larry and Stafford, he's excited about, which rightfully so, he's having a good time down there, excited about the showing that Xavier Hutchinson had and just made the comment that he needs to be the number four, and I'm paraphrasing a bit, but that he needs to be the number four receiver. And I thought he was crazy. I thought it was just in that sauce a little bit and enjoying himself a little bit. Well, then old boy sitting next to us, Ron, he shaking his head, agreed with it. You started having a full-out conversation. I just wanted to make it clear, at least my stance. I mean, to each their own. Everybody can fan how they want to fan. But for me, there ain't – as secure as those top three are, Noah Brown is about 2% less secure in that four hole. He is squarely your fourth best receiver, and he's an important part of what they're doing. He is a security blanket. If anybody gets injured in them top three, Noah Brown is going to be the guy that they feel like not only can they depend on, but hell, they saw him go in there and go for a buck 40 plus and a buck 50 plus in back-to-back games. So just to be – we got to put a little respect on this guy's name. Noah Brown, he's overshadowed because of the top three guys, I think are more explosive. The top three guys are obviously more productive. But man, he's above being discussed in the conversation with Xavier Hutchinson and John Metchie.
I'm not going to sit here and say that I think Noah Brown is beyond being able to be jumped
by anybody on this team. This year,
right now,
I'll have that conversation.
Right now, I'm not saying that it couldn't happen. Right now, like if Xavier Hutchinson continues continues to be solid and make some plays, we saw today that he made a big touchdown catch where he went over a guy from Davis Mills in their training camp practice today. If he continues to kind of improve and maybe he has found something, I'm not going to say by some point later on in the season, week 8, week 10, something like that, that maybe a Xavier Hutchinson, or if John Metchie finds it, or whatever people are saying he has found that we haven't really seen in games. I'm not saying it's impossible they can pass past Noah Brown, but not right now. Not to that 5 catch 56 yard performance was not anything that says he jumps Noah Brown to me. Now, if you want to say I think there's potential down the line later on in the season with a Xavier Hutchinson, I can hear that, but they're not right now. No chance at all right now.
Yeah, there's just nothing though. He can go out and have four straight games of 5 catches, 50 to 60 yards, and he's not going to be the number 4 receiver to start the season. If somebody gets hurt and he gets an opportunity, all of a sudden this guy's making, he's jumping, catching 50-50 balls in the end zone and going for a buck, you know, 100 plus yards, then yeah, I mean, potentially, I mean, anything's possible down the road. I'm just saying right now, Noah Brown is above the conversation of anybody, any young unproven receiver at this point in time. It was Mechie a week ago. Now all of a sudden it's Xavier Hutchinson. Like, Noah Brown is beyond that right now. And I'm just talking about leading up to the season. I mean, anything can happen in the regular season. We saw last year a bunch of receivers get hurt, and guys like Noah Brown went out there and had big games. So anything can happen if guys go down and guys get opportunities. But right now, nah, I can't get down with it.
Yeah, not today. Not right now. Yeah, as you said, with opportunities. And listen, Xavier Hutchinson has been a surprise and played well. But to be honest with you, like, that's the first even performance that would even elicit even the question, the thought. Because nobody else has done it. Like, someone texted in, what about Robert Woods? I'm surprised he's still on the team.
Hold on, Joe.
So I damn sure am not putting Robert Woods in that space.
Right? Yeah, no, so I don't. So. I mean, I think that's a conversation. I don't know how they're going
to. But not because you believe it. You think it's a conversation because of how the organization seems to believe.
Well, no, I think the conversation is Xavier Hutchinson and Robert Woods.
Oh, those two. I thought you were talking about Robert Woods and Noah Brown.
No, look, I think if there's a chance that they're going to keep, you know, six receivers, and I think Robert Woods is going to be on his football team. But which they will, one will just be inactive. So I would be willing to bet you he's going to be on his football team. But we'll see how the Sims thing, the special teams, we'll see how this all unfolds. But the truth of the matter, and it doesn't matter if we're talking about the fifth spot or the sixth spot. If these guys that are playing special teams, whether that's Sims, who appears to be one of your main returners, even though I think Tank Dell is going to factor into that with the depth of wide receiver right now more, but we'll see. Or we're talking about Xavier Hutchinson getting ripped. The guys that are playing special teams, right? Can any of those guys, for the fifth or sixth spot, can those guys overcome the fact that this team thinks more highly and has thought more highly of Robert Woods than what he brings to the table? And which I think is blown out of proportion. Like, I don't know where they got lost in thinking that that guy was the one that was going to come out here and make plays. But nonetheless, when you look at it now, I can see where Nick Cassero and D'Amico Ryans go, I love him as a safety net if I need it. If we get a bunch of guys hurt, we need a guy that doesn't practice much because all the starters get the reps. We need a guy that knows the offense like the back of his hand, because not getting all the reps is going to create rust, right? A guy that we can just throw in there at any point in time and we can depend on him. We can move him in all the different formations and we can depend on him. I think that holds a ton of value with this crew. Can Xavier Hutchinson, John Mechie's, I'm not writing John Mechie off. I think it's going to be tough, but John Mechie's in the conversation. Sims is in the conversation. Can these guys that play special teams, can they put this staff in a spot where they trust them as much as they do Robert Woods offensively? And if they do, then I think Robert's seen his last day as a Texan. If not, it's going to be tough. Robert's going to be one of your top six.
Yeah. I mean, the longer he stays in, apparently it is. They're giving him vet days off. He didn't play in the preseason game. So I guess you're probably on to something. You're on to something with that, so we'll see. By the way, I got to give you credit. You talked about when the Astros brought in Yusei Kikuchi.
Who?
You heard it. You said the thought is, could he get with this pitching staff and be kind of transformed and fixed like we've seen the Astros do over the years. And I'm not, listen, one start's not going to prove that. I mean, it was the kind of first impression they needed from him. You know, 11 strikeouts, whatever he had, strikeouts and 5 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs. That was big after he gave up the home run in the first inning. But you said they may be able to help turn him around. And early signs is they did make an adjustment before he even started. When he got here, before his first start, it seemed like they want to implement him throwing the changeup a lot more. And he seemed to have a lot of success with that and threw the changeup more than he had in a long, long time. So maybe you were right that this Astros pitching staff, the pitching coaches, the coaching staff looked at this, the scouts, and found maybe what could be the thing that helps get the best out of Kikuchi.
Well, look, I mean, it wasn't like my thought was earth shattering, right? Look, I mean, it's really the only option that this team had in order to make this thing make sense. Yeah. You know, you look at it, and to
clearly
Seth's
before
point,
they traded for him, they saw something. But
yeah, I mean, because you look at the back of the baseball card, you look at the recent history, you look at, I mean, how any way you sliced it, it was this is the guy that you want to come in and change this rotation. So there had to be something there. So I mean, I just went with what I thought was the obvious, and for one game. It appears by his performance and the comments following that game that was spot on. They made some adjustments, and a guy that's got great stuff ended up being able to go 5 2/3 and give up 2 runs and put you in a spot where you can win a game and have a big-time performance. Now, I mean, the key is, Ron, if Kikuchi keeps throwing like that, I mean, at the end of the day, there ain't nobody going to have a problem with what they gave up for him.
No.
I mean, that's – I mean, now you got a big time left arm in the pen. In the rotation along with Fromber, and the 3 to 4 other big time right arms. If you get Verlander back, so you've got options all over the place, and he definitely changes the game. Now, as long as we get more of what we saw Friday from Kikuchi than what the back of that baseball
inning.
Card looks like,
or the first inning. Yeah, that is. But no, I mean, that changeup, they clearly made an adjustment. Clearly made an adjustment. And it worked. It worked. All right, speaking of the Astros, they got a big one. We'll get you ready for that. We'll give you the lineup and what Hunter Brown needs to do tonight. And D'Amico dropped some news about his football team ahead of their next preseason game. We'll discuss all of that coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.